Turn to John 10 and Psalm 100. That family school with those young people sitting at that table so well behaved is just lead right into my message. I hope you're familiar enough with John 10 and verse 9 by now as we continue looking at these pastures. John 10 and verse 9, I am the door, Jesus speaking, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Psalm 100. I've been having a wonderful time studying these things. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Pray you'd bless it to our hearts. Help us to apply it, Lord. Help us to glorify you in our lives. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for Brother Elwert's song that blessed my soul. And I just pray, give us a good Lord's day today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about pastures in connection with our homes, our marriages, our young people. And ideally, pastures make up consisting of a shepherd with Jesus Christ as that shepherd and an under-shepherd as the head of that home, ideally a godly father. And I'll say this now, if the nuclear family isn't your current situation, apply it to you. You may be saved in a lost home, and your only jurisdiction you have is your bedroom. That can be a pasture. We got young people that are out of the home and live on their own now. Your little place can be a pasture. Your life, that's what we're talking about. The world coming by that's chaotic and undone and confused and say, man, look at that pasture in this person's life. Then we looked at a porter. The porter working in tandem as one with that shepherd for the good of the sheep. Ideally, a godly mother in the home, guiding the home, opening for the porter, making a way for the sheep. I want to continue this morning, elements of a pasture. And I got to say something this morning that I probably haven't said in 10 years, but it's in the Bible, so we have to look at it. I think we can learn something. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 65, Psalm 65. Ideal for Thanksgiving, ideal for this time of year. Verse 11, Psalm 65, 11. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Some of these verses you just can't read without thinking of Pastor Folk preaching on the fat, and the sweet. Anyways, they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with, say it, flocks. The valleys are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing, this is heavy, hang on to your hat. A pasture has sheep or some type of cattle. The very definition supports that. As a noun, pasture is grass for food, for the food of cattle, taken by grazing, ground covered with grass, listen, appropriated for the food of cattle. As a verb, it's to feed on grass or to supply grass for food. We apply the word as to persons as the farmer pastures 50 oxen or the sheep are out pasturing. So without sheep, you all only have a field. Now, in the past 75 years, the world has twisted and perverted and changed their view on sheep. I'm talking about children.
and not for the better, not closer in line with God's word, but what the world thinks of children nowadays is further from God. They've totally abandoned what a husband and wife even is, or a mom and dad even is. So I just want to take a little grain of sand, if you can handle it this morning, if you can be patient this morning, and just hold that grain of sand against the tide of overwhelming the world's opinion of children, lest the world's opinion of children creep into the church. You know what that idle shepherd wants to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. And we wonder what's happening with our youth. It starts with abortion. What better time to steal, to kill, and to destroy than before they take their first breath? But listen, the travesty doesn't begin in the doctor's office. It doesn't begin in the halls of Congress with the lawmakers. It starts in the heart of a nation of people that are void of God and His Word. I'm telling you, the travesty begins in the heart. But God has a heart too. God has a view too. And as believers, our idea is to line up with God. Psalm 127, you're familiar with it. If you've been around here at any time, Psalm 127. Let's just get God's heart, and then you can go out in the world and Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. You didn't hear that in the pro-choice rally, did you? Heritage, that means they come from God. That means it's a transfer from one to another. And the fruit of the womb is His, say it. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies again. Heritage, reward, arrows, happy. Does that sound like the world's view of children today? The world's view, in many cases, is just a necessary evil. Well, you know, Jane, you are 40 now. We should probably have a kid. And what's ironic about those people is when they have one, they all but worship them. What if I told you, hypothetical, what if I told you, you got a big blessing coming? I mean, I got an in with God, and He told me something is coming your way. Here's what He told me. You have so pleased Him, you have so praised Him, that you're getting a pay raise. And I'm talking about a big one. And that's not all. Your lodging is going to be upgraded. You're going to have more food. You're going to have more cash. That whatever you've been wanting, it's on the way. Now, how many upon hearing that news would tell God, open up the windows, I'm ready? I would. That's exactly what He did in Deuteronomy 28. Get your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy 28. Oh, He said, if you please me, verse 20, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it shall come to pass if, big if, thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Bring it on. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken, if, unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, then the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks, and thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store, all this fruit. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. I like that. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee and be smitten from before thee. Now go to verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself. And he has, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep his commandments, a big if, of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, all the people of the earth shall that see thee shall all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by my name, by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, come on, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land. Okay, not now. May I submit that the average American likes every bit of that except I'm going to lay it on you, including I'm going to increase your cattle. I'm going to increase your kine. I'm going to increase your food. I'm going to increase your city. I'm going to increase your field, and I'm going to increase the fruit of your body. Whoa, 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 whoa. And honestly, I don't think the church is far behind in our attitude towards children. People say, I don't want to bring a child into this world. It's one of the number one reasons, not the number one. We're going to talk about that in a minute. It's one of the number one reasons people don't want to bring children. I don't want to bring children into this world. Jeremiah chapter 29. You're not the first one that ever said that. Jeremiah chapter 29. They're in captivity. They're going to tie you up. They're going to hurt you. They're going to enslave you. And here's what he says. Verse 6. And when you go there, verse 4. See the end of verse 4? I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay? Take ye wives, verse 6, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands. Why? That they may bear sons and daughters, and that ye may be increased and not diminished. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm not saying nothing. I'm just giving you God's heart on children. And once you, here, let me teach you something about the Bible and about the world. Once you get God's heart on something, just go the opposite and you'll have the world's position. All right? If God's position is, I have formed thee in the womb, you can bet that they'll want to kill that baby. If God's position is, take no thought for the life of the murderer, for the murderer shall be put to death, you don't even have to watch the news. Their position will be, let the murderer go so he can go murder somebody else. Just get what the Bible says, take the opposite, and you'll have the world's heart on the matter. And then when you get God's and you get the world's, then you ask yourself, what is mine? This is the world. Article on population decline. Listen, declining birth rates are a major concern for the United States and many countries around the world. Americans are having less children than are needed to keep population numbers stable. Specifically, we surveyed a representative sample, listen, of just over 1,000 U.S. adults about their future family planning. Of those without children, about half, 52%, do not want to have a child in the future. 20% aren't sure. Just take what God says and just go the opposite, and you'll have the view of the world. But all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Why? Why don't they want children? Wide range of reasons. One is climate change. Now, this might be a mean thing to say, and I'm thinking, well, if less climate change people come into the world, maybe it's good that they're not having any kids. But I understand that. If you believe that, you're going to have kids, it's going to burn up. Housing costs. That's a concern. Our young couples getting married, they say that American dream is all but over. Safety, certainly understand that. Work-life balance. But listen, the number one reason by far, the only factor that all those reasons had in common, 54% who don't want to have children said maintaining personal independence is the reason why. They're a bother. Far cry from Rachel in the Bible, give me children lest I die. Far cry from Hannah weeping so much so they thought she was drunk because she was barren. Sarah and others, what used to be a barrenness was a reproach. To a nation void of God, now children are a reproach. You got how many kids? I've had them say it. You got what? I can't stand the one I got. Aren't you glad I'm doing this and you don't have to? Listen, I didn't write this stuff. This is your world that you're growing up in. And I'm afraid it's crept in the church. And don't put words in my mouth and say, well, he said that you got to do this. I didn't say you had to do anything. I'm trying to give you the heart of God and the heart of the world. We're talking about pastures. I marvel at the faith of street preachers and pastors and missionaries that cut their way through jungles and take the gospel to public places because they have such faith. But a baby? You want me to have a baby? And you know what it's produced in our circles? Empty churches. Chasing people that don't want to be chased, trying to win people that don't want to be won. No torch passing. They come in here. I've had them come in here 100 times. You got so many youth here. We don't have any youth at our church. And being the dignified pastor that I am, I don't say what I want to say, and I'm not even going to tell you what I want to say. We don't have, you got all the, maybe I will say it. We didn't win them at Holly Central. The thinking of the world has crept into the church, but that's not the only reason that the next generation is skittish about children. I wonder if it's a lot of it is, I know it is, I'm not wondering, a bad example of the pastures that they witnessed coming up. Let me say this. Just multiplying doesn't produce a pasture. I studied pastures. I'm having a good time. I didn't know. What is a pasture? When the word pasture is used, you might picture a big open field of green grass, but it is truly is way more than that. There is a mixture of grasses and legumes and that are planted and maintained by someone. Planted and maintained. You're learning something today. Pasture is a fenced-in piece of land where homesteaders and farmers and ranchers and other livestock owners are able to provide the necessary nutrients for the animals. Doesn't sound like they're just reproducing sheep, does it? How to create a pasture plan. A plan. Start creating your pasture by putting it on paper first. Research your area, climate, what your livestock needs, and look at your layout. There is also an opportunity for you to pick potential pasture areas. Create a drawing of your own layout and use an aerial view if possible. There are plenty of helpful people that you can get in contact with through your local extension office that will have tips about your specific climate and pasture health. They can be a great resource, so consider giving your extension office a call even before you start. Get help. You know what that is? That's a plan. Sure doesn't sound like they're winging it. treat every potential pasture field separately. There is no one-size-fits-all plan. Each field can have individual soil conditions and problems. You know what, Dad, if that's your situation, that's your job. The main purpose of a pasture is to feed grazing animals. You will want to focus your decisions about what to plant around the nutritional needs of your livestock. All domestic grazing livestock need a well-planted pasture to thrive, and a well-planted pasture will have both grasses and legumes. Soil testing is important. I could go on. What I'm saying is, pastures don't just happen. It takes planning, it takes purpose, it takes focus, it takes goals. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Heard a preacher preach a message, a church was all broken down, someone walked in there, they had that verse over the door, there was no vision, the people perish. The only thing is the T had broken off where there is no vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Something happened, and it said, here, the people perish. You know what's funny in Psalm 23? He maketh me to lie down in pastures. Does it say that? No, it says he maketh me that lie down in green pastures. Let's talk about three quick points of a green pasture. A pasture is peaceful with play. 1 Chronicles 4, Proverbs 17. I have the blessing of looking out over some acreage at my house, and my office faces out, and every spring and summer, man, those little fawns are playing around with them. They're having a riot out there. They're playing. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 40. And they found fat pasture and good, and the land was wide and, say that next word, quiet and peaceable. For they of Ham had dwelt there of old. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. Peace and quiet. Verse 1. Better is a dry morsel, a crumb of bread, and quietness therewith, than an house full of sacrifices with strife. Where God is shepherding, there is peace and control. God is not the author of confusion. He is the chief shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And he is the prince of peace. And you'd have to think that if the under shepherd had that shepherd of peace in his heart, and the porter had the shepherd of peace in her heart, you'd have to conclude that our homes are not like the home next door. So let me just give some practical help. A pasture is quiet. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Can you hear the quiet in that passage? And if you've not, if you can't, go to a pasture. You know what? Sheep don't do good in loud. I tell you about those deer I look at all summer long. Day one of gun season, see ya! I've been watching these things for 4 months. Boom, bang, boom. Where'd they go? They don't do good with loud. Now, when you try to apply this to the Christian home, it poses a bit of a problem, especially if it's an Italian Christian home, because we're loud people. What are they fighting about? They're not fighting. They're just having coffee. Then you add children, quiver full of children. I mean, the cry is designed by God to get your attention so they can survive. But as they grow,
they need some help with this. You know, I learned something. There is a word that is universal to every language. It's the, according to Google, it's the same word in every language. And I think, I was reading, I said, man, we need to teach this before we teach our kids mama or dada or no. No is the second word we should teach them. You know what the word is? Shh. Universal. I study, when I'm doing word studies, I'll study origins. Can't find the origin. But listen to what one person said. An answer for which I do not have a source, but it is worth consideration that the sound shh is soothing to babies, perhaps because it imitates the sound in the womb. You've seen your ultrasounds. Someone else said this, the reason it's shh, because you want them to hear it, but you don't want the people over there to hear you saying it. You know what Ecclesiastes said? It said there is a time to keep silence, and there is a time to speak. And there is a transition time from baby to not baby that we need wisdom. He's tired. Yeah, but he just whopped his sister with a club. Shh. Shh. Sometimes shh needs a little positive, effective reinforcement. Not like my dad did, the Italian 45, four this way and five this way. Shut up! No. I had two rules in my house. Now, it was eight girls, understand that, and one boy. No running, no screaming. The boy, he just thought that must be the way everybody was, so he didn't. Then I had grandsons. I'm still learning child rearing. Because the last thing you want to do is be a tyrant and wound their spirits. Because this place is going to be perfect. It's a reflection of me. And some that grew up in that have never recovered. I'm going to give you a balance. I love Bible balance. Here's one side of the balance. When you're looking at these little sheep. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I spake as a child. I understood as a child. They are children. Proverbs 25. Give you the other side of the balance. You need wisdom. I don't have all the answers. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Parents, self-restraint does not come naturally. And it doesn't come through nice. It comes through train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I know we apply a lot of that to, well, then how come I brought my kid up in the Lord and departed from the Lord? I'll tell you what, I can't think of one that departed from the Lord that's not successful in what they do. That is not wanted by employers. Listen, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You must reinforce words now or the battle will only get bigger. What are you saying? A pasture is peaceful and quiet while there is play. We have a generation who were never told no. And now you tell them no, and they'll kill you to get what they want. We have a generation who was never punished. And they look at the criminal being punished. You can't keep him in jail all that time for killing somebody.
I told you, just get the Bible and go the opposite and you'll have the world's view. Children are to be seen and not heard. Take your Bible, turn to Zechariah. You're not going to like the millennium. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Old Testament. You're not going to like when Jesus comes back. Chapter 8, verse 1. Zechariah, chapter 8, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with a great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion. He's coming back. You know what? I'll make another prophecy about what's going on in the world here. They just released 30 hostages. You know what Israel's going to do? They're not going to let up. And that's when the world's going to say, that's enough. You've gone too far. Just saying, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Don't count me not as a prophet. I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. That's what we're waiting for. And the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls. Say the next word. Playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes. Peace and quiet with play. That's what. Everybody knows the difference between frolicking and chaos. You got to nip that. Number two. Not only is a pasture peaceful, it's properly kept, but not a museum. Children don't do good in museums. I'm a big child, and I still don't like them. Proverbs chapter 24. Y'all with me today? Are we all right? Okay. You said it. Proverbs 24. Verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful. Now, you're talking to Italian that in the last 24 hours, no, in the last 48 hours, I picked up three things on the side of the road, curb picks. A mattress? You picked up a mattress? I would never pick up a mattress from the side of the road. Now, I will pay $150 a night at Russell's for 364 different people that slept on that mattress then, but I'm not picking up one at the road. Well, Paul says, amen, brother. I got an inversion table. You know those things you put in your hand? Remember, you're the one that helped me with it. Your dad, brand new. $279 at Walmart. Guess what I was doing yesterday? I was upside down, feeling good. So don't tell me that, well, you're just OCD. No, I am not. I went by the field of the slothful. If there's anything, I lean this way. Where was I? 30. Slothful. And by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. I saw and considered well. I looked upon it, received and saw. Yeah, a little sleep, little slumber, little folding of the hands. So shall thy poverty come of one that traveleth, and thy want unto an armed man. Sheep don't do good in junkyards, goats do. I'm not talking about a museum, because kids don't do good in museums. But if you're going to have, here's why we're not talking about a museum. And any of us that have more than a couple children had to come to the point and say, you know what? If you're going to have a quiver full of kids and try to keep a museum, you better take the bridge now.
My friend went home and his wife said, "The house is a mess." He said, "How's the home?" With that said, God is not the order of confusion and chaos and clutter. God is not a mess. Now, you got different. Do you ever realize the way your parents were and you find yourself being like your parents? Like I don't like, no offense, I'll eat it, believe me when I tell you, but I'm not big on lasagna, Mary. I'm not big on stuffed manicotti. You're an Italian? You know why? We never came up with it. My dad's 80 years old. I'm 6. Dad, do you? Oh, no, I don't like those. I don't like those either. I never knew you didn't like those. And here's what I grew up with. The living space was always nice, nice. My dad's areas, garage, basement. I don't know how you get what you get. Sometimes I long for OCD. I was with a brother one time. I was in his garage, and I look and I said, "How do you do this?" And I said, "Stop." I said, "That's a new drill." "Yeah, it's a brand new." "Okay, where's the box?" Because I'm a box keeper. What if it breaks? If I buy something at Walmart, if I buy a drill at Walmart, I don't come home, take the drill out, and throw the box in the garbage. "Well, you got the receipt." "Yeah, but some of these places, they're a little fun." You know what the guy told me? He said, "I take the receipt, I cut out the barcode on the box, I put it and I file it." I said, "You make me sick." I don't know how it gets in you, but some people are just natural slobs. Some people are slobs, don't even know it. Some are slobs, they don't even care. And there's always these extremes. We love our extremes. One extreme is the pasture is an overgrown mess. But I've seen this. The porter is a slave to the sheep in some pastures. "I'll make your bed. I'll pick up your toys. I'll take your dishes." It'll wear you out. And it's going to produce entitlement. That's why they don't want to go to work. You've had everything handed to you. "We can't let you go hungry. We can't let you starve. We can't let you go through a pandemic without giving you $3,000 a month." Now it's over and everyone's got their hands stuck out. We love extremes. Here's another one. Or the porter puts it all on the sheep. The sheep becomes a slave to the porter. I mean, the kid is 5 years old doing the laundry so mom can surf on Facebook. That's not right either. And let me tell you, they know it. Green pastures take planning and patience and work and order. I had my Uncle Angelo, Gary knows, worked for Uncle Angelo for 30 years. My dad bought a cabin in the southern tier. It was a shell, and we were working on it. He was a big construction guy. And we'd be working, a bunch of us guys, and in the middle of the work, he'd say, "Stop! Just stop! Everybody stop!" "What?" "Clean up." "I can't take it." You say, "There's no time to stop. We got to get it done." No, when it's orderly, the work is easier. Can you say amen to that? The work is easier when it's properly kept. And I'm going to throw this in, otherwise I don't have it in my notes, I'll forget. Make it fun. Training is fun. I was trying to train my kids. Oh, I was trying to train them when I call, say coming. And just do what I say until I say, "Oh, you sound like a tyrant." They're doing all right. They're not demented. They're normal, stable people. So we were doing this thing and I'd say, "Jenna, coming." You know what that does? That prevents what I came up with.
Joe, what? I'll give you a what. Get in here. Just give me the idea that you're coming my way, and I got, I'll wait. But I had them, they were laying out in the front lawn, and I said, stay there till you hear from me. A lot of it is safety. You tell them stop going in that road, that's a good thing. But if they never listen to you, how are you going to live with yourself? That's when I had my office in the home. Wait a minute, it's still in the home. And I got a call. That's when we were popular. People used to come instead of go. And I was on the phone for about 20 minutes. My wife comes up. She goes, the girls are still laying in the front yard. Can they? Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, guys, let's detail the house. It doesn't have to be tyranny. And the world will come along and say, you got how many kids? And today, if you got two, that's a lot. It must be chaotic. It must be loud. And they come by and they say, man, this is like a pasture. Or they grow, or you grew up saying, yeah, I grew up with so many brothers and sisters. Oh, what was it like? It was wonderful. A pasture has sheep. A pasture is peaceful while there's playing. A pasture is properly kept, but not a museum. And lastly, a pasture is public without pride. They don't put pastures in buildings. Now, if we are epistles, known and read of all men, and again, I don't care if your pasture is your little bedroom where you live with your lost parents, or you're a single mom, or you're some singles staying together, or you're divorced and remarried, or divorced and not, whatever you are, we have an opportunity to direct praise to God in the midst of chaos in this world. Ezekiel 11. If you find Jeremiah, you'll find Ezekiel. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel 11. Oh, this is so beautiful. Ezekiel 11:16. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast thee far off from among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, and this is what I feel like sometimes in this world that's gone bonkers, trying to do it God's way. Look at it says, yet I will be to them a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. You know what it said in Exodus? He said, Moses, lift up your hand. I'm going to cause darkness to come. And it said darkness was over the whole land, darkness that could be felt. Yet in the homes of the children of Israel, there was light. Light. 1 Chronicles 16. It'll be our last passage. 1 Chronicles 16. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Verse 24. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. And we are not prideful about our kids. You know what this church... this church did some serious damage to itself in the pride of our early days. Bless God, we don't do this. Bless God, we don't listen to that. Bless kids, bless God. Our kids don't watch that, and we've hurt ourselves and we've hurt others. So it's not about pride, but it is about, we got an owner's manual on how to do pastures, and God help us. And when this world, who their oppressors have become their children, and they can look and say, you got some answers. You've got some, we're dealing with someone right now that's saying, I need something. Don't realize what it is, but it allows us to show forth the praises. Let the chaos reign in the restaurants where we dine. While our public pastures paint a picture, and Dylan, you led into it beautiful with these kids. Where, I don't know how old the youngest one was, and I don't know how old, and I'm thinking, look at these kids, 30 minutes. We take it for granted. While our public pastures point to the great shepherd of the sheep. Listen, with young people kept, charactered, orderly, whose ascent and descent, just like the Queen of Sheba, takes their breath away. And I'm not talking about robots. I'm talking about what kids were in this country 100 years ago. Children playing. Stable, secure, mature beyond their years. In our generation, 100 years ago, we're not even close. When the power goes out in our neighborhood, which is often, you can always tell the houses where there's generators because the lights are on. A pasture has sheep. Pasture is peaceful, but there's play. Pasture is properly kept, but not a museum. A pasture is public without pride. That's God's plan. Now, what is yours? We'll sing one verse. We won't have an invitation of something, Jason. You can stand. But can we, what do you need? You know, I know what I need. I'm a grandparent now. My last one's on the way out. But this is a whole new thing. And I'm not their parent. I can't discipline them like I would my own kids. And I don't want to destroy their I don't want to break their spirits. A wounded spirit, who can be, oh man, that's a, you can't do nothing. Oh, I don't want that. But you can't have chaos. What are you saying, preacher? We need wisdom. What changes are you willing to make? How does your attitude line up with God? I know this. The world is void of understanding, and we need help. You young people, oh, man, I'm not married. I'm only 17 years old. You're going to be someday. Make your commitments now. Make your decisions now. Let's stand. What number?
Number 406.
406. One verse.